Congregation, the Lord says in his word, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Your request by prayer, when you cast all your cares upon the Lord, supplicating with thanksgiving. To experience that the Lord grants through prayer, that he is a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in their distress, a refuge from the storm, that he is a shadow from the heat. Is that not reason for thanksgiving? Prayer. Young people, when you do a Google search, prayer in times of, you will get a lot of suggested search results. Prayer in times of trouble, prayer in times of uncertainty, prayer in times of despair, prayer in times of suffering, and worry and sickness and darkness and sorrow, and prayer in times of turmoil, and prayer in times of stress. Well, you could say it's all true. What's quite remarkable in those Google searches, it does not end with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Thanksgiving. For the Heidelberg Catechism, since 1563, prayer is the chief part of thankfulness. That is the privilege of prayer. And therefore tonight, with the help of the Lord, I want to meditate with you on the theme of prayer, as we find in Lord's Day 45 of the Catechism, the questions and answers 116 to 119, which speaks of the privilege of prayer. Three main thoughts. Why to pray? Why pray? Question and answer 116. How to pray? Question and answer 117. And what to pray for? The questions and answer 118 and 119. And we just heard that it was read, and I will come back to the questions when we come to that point. So why to pray, how to pray, and what to pray for tonight. Friends, Lord's Day 45 is placed in the part of the catechism, in the part that deals about gratitude. Thanksgiving. Thankfulness, as the catechism reminds us, for the delivery of my sins through Christ for his sake. And that thankfulness of a Christian, that gratitude of a Christian, the catechism points us to two aspects. God's commandments, that is a part of thankfulness, and prayer. Prayer, of which the catechism teaches us, is the chief part, the most important part of thankfulness. Just when we pray, that means when we speak to the Lord, when you sigh to the Lord. Maybe our times of even silence before the Lord. When you lay open your heart and your life and your most inward thoughts unto the Lord, and you bring before him your needs and necessities. Yes, what we just heard of this Google search. Your troubles, your testings, your uncertainties, your sufferings, your stress. But also that prayer speaks of thankfulness of what is received. Who of us here tonight does not pray or has not prayed? Children, I was struck this morning when I was standing there how many children passed me by. Children, when you pray for a new heart, when you give thanks to the Lord, for example, on your birthday, when you have received something, you thank the Lord, for example. And parents, when we have received children, and you hear them pray in all simplicity, so childlike, did it never touch you? A prayer so open, so honest, so dependent. Young people, prayers that seem not to be heard. And maybe you think here tonight, why not giving up to pray? Parents, grandparents, those requests, those prayer requests to the Lord, but we have already forgotten what we prayed for. Single ones in our midst, or widows, widowers, prayers offered to the Lord in loneliness and being alone, but with the Lord. Does the theme of prayer not affect us? Does it not touch our life? I hope all of us. Prayers which the Lord hears. I called upon the Lord in distress and the Lord answered me. A prayer according to his will. The apostle writes in 1 John 5, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. To pray, thy will be done. What is so hard at times? As I mentioned this morning, to bend my will to his will, and not to pray to bend his will to my will. But also prayers that the Lord will hear at his time and in his way. In his time, which may be for a while, in our expectation. And sometimes we think that God's answer is a no, while the Lord is teaching a yes, but at his time. Does not Christ himself say, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? And the implied answer is, no, he will hear them. But the patience in the life of prayer, to wait and to expect, and to wait with expectation, that our eyes wait upon the Lord, our God, until that he have mercy upon us. Those prayers that we receive through faith and patience, and so inherit, receive the promises. To believe that, how much do we need grace? And then the prayers that the Lord hears, but in his way. The Lord answers prayer, but in so different way what we expected or hoped for. To learn time and again, my thoughts, says the Lord, are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways. Let us be mindful that the Lord teaches us by the apostle, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And yet, despite that deficiency of prayer and the life of prayer, that we read in God's word, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, exceedingly more that we pray for. And for example, when someone is sick, And we pray that the Lord will bless the means, the medicines, which the Lord can use or may use to restore the sick. But we don't see, there is no recovery. And though we prayed for recovery, it is a sickness unto death. But when the Lord takes one of his children then home, our prayers are heard. Not that life was restored, but that eternal life is now experienced. That place whose inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. And the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven of their iniquity. Prayers heard in his way and in his time. And then those prayers, those requests that the Lord does not grant. But it can be that we do not pray aright. James, in James 4, says, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss. Or it can be that the Lord's way and will is different than we ask for. The Apostle Paul. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. There's also an answer. But to know, even when the Lord does not grant our request, our prayers, what Father does is good. That also in the life of prayer, what the Catechism said, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obeying thy will, which is only good. And therefore, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Prayer, friends, is a privilege, an undeserved privilege. When in Christ a way is opened through his blood to the throne of grace, to come into his presence, and so that you can pour out your heart before the Lord with this expectation, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. And then to learn, maybe also tonight to be reminded, prayer is the chief part, is the most important part of thankfulness. Now maybe you ask why, which is the question in 116. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Why is it necessary? The Lord knows everything. Does not Christ himself not say to our comfort and instruction, therefore take no thought? That is, be not too concerned, be not too anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, wherewith shall we be clothed? For, and that is the reason, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. So why prayer? Why is it necessary for a Christian to pray? And the answer in the Catechism is because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also because God will give his grace and Holy Spirit to those only with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. The chief part of thankfulness for the deliverance of sin and guilt through Christ. Do you know about it? Don't step over it. We are tonight in the part of gratitude. But why this gratitude? A gratitude which is expressed in the life of repentance and conversion. Do you know this dying of the old man and the rising of the new? This struggle, this lifelong struggle of the dying of the old and the rising of the new. This thankfulness that is expressed in the life of a Christian to live, that is the desire. In beginning, according to God's commandments, despite your failings and fallings many times, but also that is expressed in a life of prayer. To whom else shall you go with all your concerns and cares of life? Last week I spoke to someone who had heard on Wednesday that her sister was terminal ill. On Thursday, she heard a brother was near death. And on Saturday, one of her children went through a very difficult time. If you have then no one to turn to, which many have in this world, do you begin to see the privilege of prayer? And turning to the Lord for that terminal ill sister, for that brother that faces death, for that child, and you feel as parents so helpless. And for yourself to come through the day with such news, day after day. And yet, we are called tonight, prayer and thanksgiving. Does not the psalmist say, he keeps it together, eh? And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, says the Lord, and thou shalt glorify me. Offer unto God thanksgiving. And pay thy vows unto the Most High. Call upon me, says the Lord. Catechism says, which God requires of us. The Lord reminds us tonight. Pray. Pray. So necessary to be reminded by the Lord to pray. Particularly in times when you have to say, I cannot pray. At times that you feel so prayerless. At times words. But from the heart. And then this comfort. There is a living Christ, even now, who intercedes for each of his children, despite no words to pray, no words, maybe a sigh and a cry. Oh Lord, teach us to pray, but also teach us, and that we are reminded tonight that we do not forget to pray and to experience the Spirit also helps our infirmities also in prayer. Maybe you are a beggar at the throne of grace, but the Spirit, as an enlightening Spirit, teaches us what to pray for. A sanctifying Spirit who works and stirs up praying graces. A comforting Spirit which silences our fears and helps us over all discouragements. And for Christ's sake, his people will be heard. This poor man, this poor woman cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Offer then unto God thanksgiving, because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires us, says the Catechism, and also because God will give us his grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with a sincere desire continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. Maybe now you say, how then shall we pray? The Lord asks us requires us, but how shall we then pray? Our second thought. Because also sometimes I think we need to be reminded how to pray. Because let us be honest tonight, sometimes we do not plan to pray. Very often a vacation you plan, and sometimes way in advance, what you're going to do, how you will spend your vacation, but prayer. How do you pray? What are the requisites? Do you plan? Do you take time to pray, which is acceptable to God? So the Catechism asks in 117. Question 117, what are the requisites of that prayer, which is acceptable to God and which he will hear? First, that we from the heart to the one and true God only, who has manifested himself in his words, for all things he has commanded us to ask him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, and that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of his divine majesty. And thirdly, that we may fully persuade that he, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will for the sake of Christ our Lord certainly hear our prayer, as he has promised us in his word. Dus not only to know that prayer is necessary, but also to be taught and to be reminded tonight how we should pray. The Catechism says, what are then the requisites of that prayer? Well, the early church taught about how to pray. For example, and that's very practical, to learn the Psalms by heart. They also taught long prayers need to be avoided, particularly in public. And third, rules for prayer might be taught due to our weaknesses. And also Calvin have written about how to pray. In fact, he gave four directions for prayer. He says, to pray aright, we need to prepare our hearts and minds for that. We need to prepare all our thoughts that may be a hindrance in our speaking with God must be taken away. Two, we need to feel strongly our need and misery, which must go together with a strong desire to empty such need before the Lord. Three, when we come before the countenance of the Lord, Calvin says, we must lay down all self-confidence, but with humility glorify him. And the fourth direction that Calvin gives, our prayer must be motivated by a certain hope, persuaded that our request will be heard for Christ's sake. So you hear that the Catechism, in this answer 117, follows Calvin in three of the four directions. First, the Catechism, that we from the heart pray to the one and true God only. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery. Calvin said that goes together. That we so may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of the divine majesty. And thirdly, the Catechism says that we fully persuaded that he, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as he has promised in his word. Dus when we pray, the Catechism teaches us three considerations. That from the heart we pray to God, the only true God. And as I mentioned already in our congregational prayer this night, there are so many gods in this world. Maybe so many gods in your life, but not the God with a capital G. The only and true God. Praying to him who only is able and willing for Christ's sake to help us. who knows best what in which manner he can help us. To speak to the Lord with his word, with his own words. Remember the early church. Pray with the words of the Psalms and learn the Psalms by heart. And pray to him who knows all things, also the things that you wrestle with. Those things no one knows about it. Maybe that burden in your life, or that silent sorrow. Congregation, do you see again the great privilege? There is one to whom you may and can bring it before the Lord, the only true God. So that you may bring all things, nothing is too small, nothing is too great, but that you may come before this great God. Proverbs reminds us the prayer of the upright is his delight. So in your prayer you turn to the only God, true God. Secondly, you come before him in humility, with this realization, this knowledge of your need and misery. As the Catechism says, to humble ourselves in the presence of his divine majesty. Abram, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. And Isaiah, when he had an impression and saw the glory of the Lord, the holy, holy, holy of the Lord, he had to cry out, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. You come before the Lord with a deep impression who he is and who you are. Ursinus wrote in his commentary on this Lord's Day, humility comes forth when we understand aright our need and misery. Our need and misery. Joseph had prayed in 2 Chronicles 20, for we have no might against this great company that comes against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Does that characterize your prayer? We don't know what to do. There are times in life it looks like that you stand with your back to the wall. We don't know what to do. But our eyes are upon him. And thirdly, to pray not only to God and in humility, but also with a certain hope. Fully persuaded, says the Catechism. In the original edition is with a firm ground. Notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, but for Christ's sake. As Daniel once closed his prayer, now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary for the Lord's sake. Resting upon God's faithful promises. As the Lord let us know through Isaiah, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. We have read tonight the prayer of Nehemiah. Is an example of a prayer that the Lord gave in his word. A very specific example. Speaks about the brokenness of the church here on earth. There's also a prayer that is needed, I think, also in our time. Never get used to the brokenness of the church congregation. That we sit here, or in Ball Avenue, or in Crescent Street, never get used to it. Nehemiah had learned the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Do you think that the church today is in a better condition than then? And we hear Nehemiah pray and we hear this pattern that resonates with this catechetical instruction, a prayer to God, to the God of the covenant. Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keeps covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. A prayer in humility, a confession of sin. We have sinned. Verse 6. Not only there, but we have sinned. But also with hope. Pleading upon God's own word, remember the words spoken to Moses. He says in verse 8, a request, be attentive to our prayer. It is so undeserved, O Lord, but we beseech thee, grant us mercy. These then are the directions we have been given by the Catechism, how to pray to God and him alone. From the heart. From the heart. In humility. And with hope. For Christ's sake. And therefore, put your prayers, my prayer, next to these directions tonight. Pray to God. How often do our thoughts wander away even when we pray? But when we pray, this deep impression in the heart, in the mind, in our affections, I pray to the God of heaven and earth. When I speak to the Lord and pour out my soul before the Lord. Pray with humility. Do you have now always this sense that you deserve nothing? And yet, by grace, you cannot miss him. Expect everything of him. And then a prayer with uncertain hope. Confidence for Christ's sake. How's your life of prayer? How often there is not this trust? There is no hope. There is no confidence. Is it congregation? Is it friends? Because we miss that union and communion with Christ. But to come with confidence, not in myself, but this confidence for Christ's sake. That is firm. Oh, let us then come boldly unto the throne of grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This great and undeserved privilege, congregation, to pray. If there is no way, neither back or forward, but then there is a way to above the throne of grace, for Christ's sake, our Lord certainly hears our prayers, as he promised us in his word, says the Catechism. The directions for our life of prayer is lifting up our voice to the Lord God in humility, but also for Christ's sake with confidence and a certain hope. That is a knowledge by grace, work by the Spirit, work by God's Spirit, a knowledge of God, a knowledge of ourselves, and a knowledge of Christ. And as the Catechism reminds us, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly will hear us, as he has promised in his word. It's the only reason. It's the only reason that you will be heard in prayer, because of Christ, for his sake. Because when he prayed to his Father on the cross, he was not heard. There was a silence. But so that you can and may be heard. When he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So that you might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. That's the only reason that you will and can be heard. Even when you think that he does not attend to your needs, but goes away with you in life, it is better for you. This realization that we deserve not to be heard, and yet, when his Father did not hear him and answered him, so that Christ will hear the cries of his people. The Psalms are full of it, congregation, and it should encourage us, and it should give us hope. Psalm 4, the Lord hears when I call upon him. Psalm 18, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Psalm 116, because he has inclined his ear unto me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which he will hear? So the Catechism asks. Look to Christ and him alone. That is required of us. That is acceptable to God. Is that requisite too much in this part of gratitude? To be reminded what he has done for such one as you are, for each of his children, what you never could accomplish of yourself. And therefore he will answer us. Shall you not forget this night when you pray, when you have your petitions, or when you have no words, look to him who intercedes for each of his children, even now. And so we come to the question, what ought we then to pray for? What is then the content of our prayer? That is our third point. But let us first sing of Psalter 112, the stanzas 2 and 4. Withhold not thy grace from me, and although I am poor and needy. Psalter 112, the stanzas 2 and 4.
Thank you.
Question 118. What has God commanded us to ask of him? And the answer, all things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer he himself has taught us. That's the basically the content of our prayer according to the catechism. Those two main thoughts, for soul and for body. That's both the spiritual and the physical, the material. That is the unity in prayer. Thus prayer relates to our entire life. Our spiritual life, to direct our life more and more to God, the Lord, in all that we do. Also for this new week, have the Lord in mind, and to do it for his glory. Spiritual life, that our prayer is directed to more knowledge of Christ. Prayer is also a form of meditation. Meditating on Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, his sitting at the right hand of the Father. Such is to our benefit, to our profit. Does not the catechism say, for example, Christ's ascension, let us know that he is our advocate, our intercessor in the presence of his Father. What a comfort when you don't have words to speak anymore, to pray anymore. This comfort, there is one who advocates, who makes intercession. These are the meditations in the life of prayer. And it grants us by grace more knowledge of ourselves and therefore our needs, but also more knowledge of our need of Christ. And then also our physical needs, our temporal things. The Lord said, call upon me in the day of trouble. That is all kinds of trouble, congregation. Sometimes maybe trouble in family life. Can concern your business, when business is slow, or financially it is difficult to support your family and the future is so uncertain. Bring it before the Lord. Has he not promised? The gold and the silver are mine. The money is there. It just goes from one pocket to the other pocket. But you may bring it before the Lord. But the catechism also said our prayer is related to the things necessary. That is the, I would say, the limitation of our prayers. All things necessary. In other words, what is mostly needed. That is also that, remember, when we pray. What is really needed. Oh, but when we come then with those needs of necessity before the Lord, he let us know through his word, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide. Is that your prayer life? Or is this a little bit here, a little bit there? Parents, teach your children. Teach your children early on. Not only that they must pray, but also how to pray. What to pray for. There is a 17th century book by Kuhlmann. It's translated as The Duty of Parents. Parents, if you have children, read chapter 6. Which is about teaching our children to pray. And then he writes a long chapter, but he writes, teach them which sins they should confess and why. But also indicate to them the benefits for which they must give thanks in the morning and in the evening. For their spiritual benefits, needs for their regeneration, needs that Christ died for them. Needs that they should believe in Christ. Teach them to pray The Promises of God in His Word. Very practical book. Very practical instruction. Written in the 17th century. Very contemporary for today. Congregation, in the light of the catechism teaching tonight, should we not examine our life of prayer? And I begin here. Must we not say, so much shortcoming and sin, maybe laziness and slackness in the life of prayer? Let us listen then one more time to the final part of the catechism here, in which a more excellent way is given to us, which Christ our Lord had comprised in that prayer He Himself has taught us. That is a privilege. When my prayer is not as it ought to be, when our prayers are not maybe the chief part of thankfulness, when your prayer is maybe more on the material side than on the spiritual side, but it is Christ who teaches His children, sometimes those prayerless children, those that cannot pray anymore, who miss the words, the right words. Christ prays for them to His Father, to their Father. And that's the question and answer 119. What are the words then of that prayer? And Christ has prayed, and His children has received this great privilege that they may repeat word for word. That prayer that opens, our Father. That's a privilege. Our Father points to an intimate relationship as a child to his or her father. As Christ to His Father and the Father of His children. Our Father to this God, hallowing His name, praying for His coming kingdom and the obedience to His will directed to God, that first. A prayer that is related to our life, this humble request, our daily bread, our spiritual need, forgiveness of sins, deliverance of evil, the evil one, those temptations, young people. Christ prayed. And if you don't dare to pray, repeat Christ's own word, which He teaches His children. And that prayer that closes and is directed to the King, that ends with hope, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That King, who knows what his subject needs, who knows of their needs, who knows you struggle with direction in your life. Christ knows your need even now. And so that you may receive in His way and at His time. And receive in prayer and through prayer from His fatherly hand. Does that not humble you? Does that not fill you with thankfulness? Does that not glorify Him in your prayers? Oh, this great privilege of praying unto the Lord. Maybe children, you know this song, eh? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and great griefs to bear. What a privilege. What a privilege. To carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what a peace we often forfeit. Of what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And that is the invitation tonight. This teaching on prayer. To bring everything to Him with thanksgiving, so that you may know He heard me and delivered me from all my fears for Christ's sake. Oh, then it is by times This truly the chief end of thanksgiving, that you have to say, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth. If I regard the iniquity of my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God has heard me, and he has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, what a great privilege it is to be reminded this night to carry everything to thee in prayer. And then for Christ's sake, he has heard us and has attended to the voice of our prayers. O Lord, we'll give the practice of it this week, that we may come before thee in prayer and meditate upon it. Be with us when we leave this place. Be the after preacher. Work with word and spirit in our hearts. A true thankfulness in our hearts in the life of prayer. Be with each of us in this new week. Care for us. Watch over us, keep us away from sin, and that we together may take refuge in thee, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Congregation, our closing psalter is 311. 311, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? How shall my soul by grace restored give worthy thanks, O Lord, to thee? And what follows, 311, the stanzas 1, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
congregation come in peace and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.